So let's talk about the marketplace just a bit. You know, we had earlier in the week the USDA reports. I know you've done some numbers on those and looked forward and started to think about what that really means for both new and old crop as we make our way really quickly now to the planting season. What are you telling your subscribers?
I think the biggest thing to come out of the USDA report was that the reduced wheat demand at the global level needed to have some scrutiny to it, because if that wheat demand, because it was due to China and their lower feeding demand, Todd, if that's accurate, that helps correspond with the Chinese feed demand as a whole being lower, and that being correlated with their economic growth slowing down. And so I went back and looked at some of the numbers line by line with the wheat number that USDA put out, the feeding side especially, and tried to look at that in reference to the Ag Attaché report that was out on the 7th for China's grain annual report. And those numbers do work together. They do make sense. And so it becomes real important that this seems a lot like late 2002, early 2003, when USDA took the wheat global ending stocks up as they took the U.S. corn ending stocks down. How did that end? Well, it ended with the wheat still being the leader, unfortunately. And so I think this is where it's very important that the corn, if we don't have planting delays, that corn traders, corn producers realize that wheat is now coming back in from maybe the fray and not as much a supportive role, and could actually be more of a negative role player here if the hard red wheat belt gets some extra rains here in the next couple, 3 weeks. That's a big if. I mean, that's why I think we stepped to the technical abyss in the grain markets today. We looked over the edge, and we stepped back and said, no, we're not going to take out major support levels, because weather uncertainty, it was a deciding factor, and it's so important for both corn and wheat right now.
Okay, so can I take you through some numbers again with China? I want to stay with that just for a bit, because I know the price of hogs in particular in China has plummeted since December. That because they have such a large glut of hogs. That's now. Is this telling us that livestock numbers in whether it's poultry or hogs or I don't know what else might be there, and hogs normally wouldn't be fed wheat, but livestock numbers in general in China are going to be lower? But why does this?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, compound feeding is going to be lower, especially. That's the hallmark of the Attaché report, was that we are going back to concentrated mixes because the break-evens are being hit so hard on the domestic level. And so compound feeding is going to take a hit because we're going to go back to concentrated feeding. I think it's important to realize right now some of the people in Asia that are in the meal industry are saying that the Chinese domestic crusher is losing $80 to $100 a ton. It was just this past December they were making $200 to $400 a ton on their meal crushing. And so we have had a significant shift because of the avian flu and because of the hog margins and the oversupply of hogs. You throw on top of that the idea that the state government now is going to release state reserves in May for soybeans. That becomes a very big, big supply issue as we go into the springtime. And so this is what the wheat does. It tends to reflect the global nature of the agriculture market, and China's feed demand being hit because of wheat, it makes it pretty important that the soybeans could get hit as well in their feed demand. I look for that in forthcoming reports.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're looking for that in forthcoming reports. So this is the beginning of the move back to where?
Well, that's where it goes back to the technicals. If you take out the 1460 in the May beans, I think then you really open the door to go back to around the $14, $13.95 level. Once some of those 50-day moving averages that haven't been tested for several months, we haven't gone back to those levels since some of these longer-term moving averages since late last year to August, September of last year. So there's not a lot of support underneath this market, technically speaking, especially, and what we're talking about here is the meal market, especially if the meal market leads you lower.
And then for corn?
I think corn is again, back to the wheat, technically and fundamentally. If you don't have planting delays, you've got very overbought conditions in corn. I liked USDA's export number of 1.75 billion. That rang the bell for what I've been talking about, it being the average export pace for the last 9 or 10 years, excluding the drought year of 2012. So I think the numbers are there now, and the demand has been met as far as USDA. So now we have to rely upon either increased demand or planting delays, and this puts wheat back in the spotlight as well. So I'm getting nervous about corn and wanting to re-up the hedges that we have on and maybe even extend those.
Any wheels down there in your part of the world for planting?
Lots of anhydrous. I think they're excited to go. I talked to a couple clients this week, and they're trying to hold pat because they don't know where the low is going to set up, and they don't know how cold it's going to be. But a lot of preparation, especially these last couple days, from Atchison all the way up into Iowa.
And the conditions are dry?
Conditions are very dry still. We picked up about 2.5 inches of rain, I think a little over a week ago, so we could get it in the ground, and with the temperatures not too warm, be fine, but we'd need a very, very good rain after that.
Yeah, I think on my Twitter account today, I saw somebody who asked the question if it was okay in here in at the western part of the state of Illinois to plant corn. One neighbor to the other, and they said, well, it says on the bag, store in a cool, dry place. So I.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because the Jacksonville producers I was talking to today, they are being essentially begged by their seed and agronomy people not to do anything this weekend if we get down to 30 or 29 degrees.
Yeah, okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, and good luck with the fund drive.
All right, thank you. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. He's right. We're in the midst of a fund drive. If you can, dial in right now, and it's a good time to dial in, 217-244-9455, or hit that red square, rectangle actually, up at the top of the page at willag.org that says contribute.